So now we'll get into email marketing in general and then email marketing for your subscription. I'm going to probably take the beginning slides a little bit quicker, and then I'm going to really slow things down because I really want to spend a lot of time on one slide in particular. And I think that'll be good even too if you have some questions about that slide, ideas, let's talk about it. But first, let's start with some review. Most of us probably know what email marketing is. It's been jammed down our throats as authors for a really long time, but it's not for a bad reason. And I'll show you on the next slide why it's not for a bad reason. But what email marketing is when we send emails to a group of readers who have opted in to receive communication from us. That second part is really important. Email marketing isn't just blasting random inboxes. These are readers who have a relationship with you. Now, how they have a relationship with you could differ, right? Some readers are going to come purely from word of mouth and they'll find your mailing list because someone else said, hey, you've got to subscribe to this. Others might come from the back of books. They might be a previous reader of yours. Maybe it's not from the back of a book, but maybe they've read your book elsewhere, right? Algorithmically, this would be a retailer, a SEO fiction platform, even a social media platform who's able to have your content reach an audience that wouldn't normally see it and then have come in through there. Then there's paid ads and paid promotion, like paid newsletters. There's cross promotions, there's in-person events, and there's more. And you might be wondering like why I'm even just listing out all of these things. One, you should not be trying to do all these things all at once. It's very difficult for any business, forget just being a solopreneur author, which is really hard. It's really fun, but it's really hard to master all these different, what we'll call growth channels, right? It's very hard. I'll tell you, this first one, organically and word of mouth, if you don't have that working for you, that's a sign that you should focus on that. That's the first one. That's why I put it first, because you really want that starting. And you might be going, well, if I'm just getting started, I don't have a large reader base yet. How do I know if I'm having some word of mouth? It really just comes down to, even if you're at a small scale, knowing that there's some readers who are liking your books and sticking with it, and even just sharing it with a friend, that is validation, right? That you're on to the right thing. And that takes time to figure out. Algorithmically is great. People who are really good at mastering algorithms might be working TikTok, 5 posts a day. I'm just kidding. That's a lot, but some people do. Or they might be really good at understanding what KU audiences want, what the also bought algorithms are working like, and how to release things at specific times off of your back catalog to be able to get a new audience in off of a specific sales ranking, right? There's authors who use those types of algorithms. There's paid ads, paid promotion, all these things, right? But there's another important thing that we're going to be talking about, which is that how your reader enters a relationship with you, what we're going to call like their reader journey, how their journey proceeds with you really affects how you want to communicate and market to them. In other words, not every journey is created the same. They can all be equally awesome, but they're definitely not created the same. So that's where we want to really adjust how we think about email marketing. And when I say email marketing too, a lot of the advice I'm going to give you is going to be really tailored to you have a mailing list. And specifically a mailing list on a platform that allows you to send out marketing emails. And let me go on another tangent about this. You use Ream and also other subscription platforms too, like Patreon has this, Substack too. They allow you to send out emails, but they don't charge you for it. I think that's great. I think it serves the purpose for authors sending emails for probably what 90% of authors do. And it's why a lot of authors are using these platforms. And look, we are very happy for you to do that. But here's the deal. The top 1% of authors won't be served correctly by these platforms. And it doesn't have to do with any specific features. It's by design. It's by design. And it's why today I'm going to be talking about things you probably need an actual mailing list for, using something like a MailerLite, et cetera. There's so many different mailing list platforms. There's Brevo, there's so many. I'm not even going to go through all. I've used probably 8 at this point. But they all work somewhat similar. And these are the principles we're going to go over. But what you really need to know is that when you're using a platform like Ream, and the other platforms work the exact same way, but I can tell you this because I know how it works, is the emails are being sent out are what are called transactional emails. So these are emails that when you work with a server company, there's multiple ones that send out servers. AWS is a really common one. We don't work with Amazon on anything, but that's one that a lot of companies use. or sending out transactional email. These are specifically not necessarily for marketing purposes. So you can still like market things in the stories, but they're really getting notifications about posts on the platform. This is why these platforms are able to afford giving you this for free. Because you might be wondering, why do I have to pay for it else for it and I get it for free here? It's because sending out those emails are exponentially cheaper than sending out marketing emails. The answer as to why that is because marketing emails have way greater spam and the server cost for handling that and being able to siphon through that is much, much higher, right? When you build out marketing emails, they're not transactional, they're marketing emails. And this is what true mailing list companies and mailing list software do. It opens up a lot of opportunity to segment your readership in different ways. Now, what I will say is this, that I think in the medium term, it certainly Ream's mission to be able to integrate more of these funnels into Ream. But when we talk about segmenting your mailing list, when we talk about funnels and these reader journeys, it's going to be very tough for you to understand where all that's coming in on any subscription platform that you use, right? At least right now. Obviously, I'm obsessed with marketing. So you know I'm going to want to improve that over time. But I'm telling you why it's not there today and why you probably want to use a mailing list platform. So with all of that said, my advice is going to be tailored to much more advanced stuff. If you're interested in just sending out a few emails to your readers, go use following on Ream. That'll work really well for you. And it's still really good if you're looking to grow your subscription. It's designed really well for, hey, you're already following you. But then the question is, how do you get people to follow you? Still, email marketing could come in handy. And that's what I want to talk about today. So with all of that context, why this is so important is because email marketing is still the highest converting marketing channel by a wide margin, people. It's the most converting. It's almost like one of those things that just doesn't die. Like it's been here as a core tenet of how we run business on the internet for literally like 20 years, 20 plus years. And I don't see it going anywhere over the next 10. If you ask me, what are some things that like will change? It's very hard to know. But if you ask me some things that won't change, it's a little bit easier to know what won't change. And that's also what I want to talk about, because although email marketing is going to stay here, what does good email marketing look like? And I think there's five things. There's five things. And that's what a lot of my advice is going to come back to. Because to be very clear, email marketing is not I sign up for something and I just get blasted with notifications to buy something. Or if that's the case, that reader knows that going into it. They know my journey is just new release notifications. Some of my favorite authors, I think I'll call out some big authors by name because I'm on their mailing list and it's all good. I love what they're doing. Jack Hunt, A.G. Riddle. You can guess some of the stories I like to read based on that. They really just send out new release notifications. But if you sign up for the mailing list, that's exactly what they tell you you're getting. You're not expecting to get any more. And most of the people who are on those mailing lists probably have read their book. Like to my understanding, a lot of the people who are on these mailing lists have already read these books before and want more books than all. So that, going back to this slide, means they have a very specific relationship with you and we can market to them in a different way. Whereas if someone comes in from a paid ad and they don't even know your stories and you're now just going to start just sharing them new release after new release, eventually that might be a good thing. But as we're going to get to, I think there's another checkpoint we can add in there that can ease them into the overall reader journey. We'll get there. But going back here, the first thing, and to be honest, these go in descending order because we think about these probably as like first headline, first this, first that. But in reality, making it easy to click into the email is probably the least important thing. That sounds weird, but I'll tell you why. Headlines are really important. I'm going to give you advice on great headlines. I'm going to give you 22 headline starters from a great book that I read. But if someone opened your last email and they hated it, does it matter what the next email is titled? Are they going to open it? Probably not, right? They're probably going to delete it. They're probably going to unsubscribe at some point. And that just shows the importance of almost like in books, what sells your next book is the last book. What gets them to open up the next email is your last email. And we're going to play on that psychology in just a minute here. But even with that said, you do want to make it easy to click into the email. Having something that is enticing versus not is going to get people to click it. And luckily for you, there's actual proven headline starters that get people to click into things. So this isn't guesswork. It's actually, at this point, as close to science as it could be. Some people say psychology. is more, whatever your thoughts are on psychology, it's certainly psychology. We've ran tons of experiments this. The next thing is that you want to follow through on your promise and build a relationship based on your reader's stage in the journey with you. What does this mean? You don't want to say headline offers free book bottom of email. I don't think that's a great experience. Most people are going to click in and they're going to be like, wow, I feel cheated here. You told me you guys are going to get a free book. And the first thing I'm seeing is I have to like, it's this box set that I have to pay for, which maybe they would have been totally cool with if that was what the headline said. So really being focused on how does my headline align directly with the experience I'm giving my readers inside the email? Then you want to make it easy to take action, right? This is obviously the benefit of doing following on a subscription platform or something like that. It's why it could be part of your email strategy. That makes it really easy to take action. But you do want to make it really easy for a reader to do the next thing. And that usually requires putting the link multiple times. Literally, there's been studies that show like the number of times the link is shown, the higher the overall CTR rate. So you don't want to be like too annoying with it, but like just putting the link once probably doesn't cut it. And you want to make it obvious, bolded, underlined. These things sound simple. We see them in a lot of emails, but you'd be surprised when people forget to do it. Then you want to give your readers a consistent reason to keep opening their emails. This goes back to the promise. What are they coming there for? If it's new release notifications, are they excited about your new releases? And is that actually what you do? Check. That's great. Then you want to give your readers an easy, welcoming experience. This is what goes back to onboarding. And instead of talking about it now, I want to talk about it in a little bit. So now this is the slide that I'm going to spend most of our time on, because in my opinion, everything in email goes back to these three strategies. And I want to spend most of the time on what I'm calling checkpoints. I don't actually have a word for it. And I'm sure someone else has come up with a great word for it, but I'm just calling it checkpoints, what I've observed. And I think they're the most underutilized thing in marketing, especially for our subscriptions. Then I'm going to go first to evergreen, which is what I think most authors do, but it's the least effective. Then we're going to go to launching, and I'll actually tell you how to launch your subscription, which if you do it, it's the most effective, but it's really high effort. Checkpoints, I think, are the beautiful balance between both these strategies. Let's start with evergreen simple. Evergreen's easy. And I'm not saying evergreen isn't valuable. If you get evergreen and our third one, checkpoints, working together, I think then you have your answer. But not to hold you in suspense, let's start with evergreen. This is ways that you're giving your readers entry points into your subscription on a regular basis within your email marketing. Remember, we're talking about email marketing, say only. Evergreen marketing can apply to social media and other outlets, but we're going to stay narrowly focused on email. What does this actually look like? Okay, maybe you put your subscription in a link in your footer in the email so that if readers are interested in being able to get all of your books, you say, want to get access to my library, want to get access to the next book, and just put it as a little kind of an afterthought right at the bottom. A lot of that's good for building awareness so that people know. I'm not telling you not to do evergreen, but you will see that it's probably the least effective at actually getting people to the edge, at actually getting people to convert. Doesn't mean it's unimportant. It's low lift. It's relatively easy to create a new email template and make sure that subscription's in there. Likewise, tied to this, wherever you're funneling people, if you're funneling people to maybe, hey, click this free chapter. Hey, click here. You could be mentioning it there as like step two from your email campaign. You also could have a regular section in your newsletter. Some authors, this all goes back to style, right? Some authors their newsletters are less newslettery or newspapery type, and they're more messaging. I love that. That's awesome. There's no right or wrong answer here. Some authors have more like a newsletter type format where it's like, here's this section, here's this section, here's this section. I've been working on this. If that's it, you could have a regular ongoing section for your subscription. That is evergreen marketing. And most authors I talk to, that's what they do. And they go, wow, this isn't working. I'm not getting people to convert. And it's working, it's helping. But no, it's not surprising, because here's the truth. Most people aren't going to get to that evergreen section. They're not going to get to the bottom of the email. They're just not. They're not going to scroll down to that section about it. Now, the people who do, a lot of them aren't even going to take action, because they're going to take action on the thing at the top of your email. But at least they're going to build some awareness. So again, it's not a bad thing. And if you do it right, it can be very low lift. But your email marketing for your subscription shouldn't stop here. Honestly, outside of the initial launch, for most authors, their email marketing stops here. That's a huge problem. So let's go to launching. And here's what's funny about launching. It's not just initially when you launch something. See, it's email campaigns around the launch of new tiers, promotions, and more. Meaning, it isn't just, oh, I came out my subscription, big email campaign. Okay, cool. Yeah, like definitely do that. But this is about continuous launching, right? And we talk all the time about like iteration and changing your subscription, adding new things. That is the moment that you can now do a launch email campaign, right? Because you have a reason. You've almost launched something new. Now, it's weird because we already do this for our bugs. Book one in a series, book two, we launch, book three, we launch. It's a little bit weirder when we think about our subscription because we're like, it's not like we're creating a new product. It's still the same tier. It's still the same subscription. But you're launching a new experience, which is what really matters. Readers aren't subscribing to your subscription. They're subscribing to continuously get new experiences. And when you launch a new experience, bang, you can do a launch email. These are the most effective, but they are high effort, especially if you do it right. Now, what does doing it right look like? I think there's five parts to it. There's five parts. There should be like a five email sequence, which that can be intimidating. That can sound like really horrible. Like, oh, I had to write five emails, but we can keep them short and keep them really effective. And here's what I would generally do as a framework. Email number one is the pre-launch email. How many authors have seen people do this before a Kickstarter? I'm sure we have, right? I know Brandon Sanderson, obviously everyone follows the guy at this point, but he did that for his latest crowdfunding campaign where he had, hey, something's coming. Follow me, right? Pre-launch is helpful because you have to think about this in the context of, again, your reader's journey with you. They don't know what you're launching. You've been working on it for months. You've put dozens of hours into this. They are going about their life, waiting for something new from you, but they don't know what you're actually doing. So you want to share with them, hey, this is coming soon. Maybe it's 24 hours from now. Maybe it's a couple days from now. You'd be surprised. You don't need to give people a month heads up. You don't need to. A couple days is fine. 24 hours is fine. I wouldn't recommend much more of a heads up than that. But that is important. And during that period, there's kind of two main strategies I've seen authors do. You could archive your tiers so that they're not available for sign up, so people only follow you. So it's your pre-launch, follow me, and then get notified when my tiers are live. Or you could have your tiers be live, but you just not emphasize it. You're not trying to actually get them to take action at that point yet. You're really just letting them know, this is coming. I have something exciting in the works. I want you to know about it. Then we have four more emails, right? And these are important because the first one is the actual launch email. And this one we do. We know what to do with the launch email. I'm going to give some more advice here. But notice that it's the second of five emails. Most of us probably stop after the launch email. Maybe we do one more. But it's important to do this in a targeted sequence. Now, you might be asking, how long should this entire sequence last? And my answer is around 7 days. 10 days at most. You don't need to do more than 10 days. It's high effort, right? It's exhausting to constantly be in launch mode. I don't want you to constantly be in launch mode. 1 week, 7 to 10 days is really all you need. You could condense it into 3 days. That's really intense. I don't personally recommend that. I think 7 is the sweet spot. But what are you going to do on that first launch day, when that first launch email goes out, our second email in the sequence? That email is all about letting them know it's time to take action. Here's what's inside. Go for it. And honestly, making these emails simple, short, and to the point is actually a good thing. Why? Because we're going to save all of the real in-depth, we'll call it marketing, selling, showing with our readers to these later emails. They just need something simple to be like, it's here. And one of the biggest mistakes we can make is overcomplicating things, burying the links multiple scrolls down. Ideally, when you open up your phone, there is an email. Like when you click in, I'm just trying to open up an email right now for y'all. So this is someone's email. Gmail is loading. You can see here, this load for me, please. So this person's email, right? This is like just a newsletter on traffic sources, right? But ideally you want within that scroll, right? You want within that scroll to have the link visible and the clear call to action for this first email. Because if someone has to scroll, they already have to click. That's bad enough. And it's really hard to get them to not have to click because like currently all email services are, you have to click out the link to go to the site. That's the point. But any other friction between opening and clicking is a mistake for this first email. You shouldn't do it. And I would really like on any email provider, you can send yourself a test email and see what does it look like? What does it look like? What does it look like? And you should do that. You should do that for each one and be like, what does this look like on a phone? Oh, this link is too far down. The call to action's cut off. I know it's silly, but it's really important. More important than you'd think. And again, because it's a short email, we're keeping it simple. You don't have to spend hours brainstorming. It's finally live, y'all. The next things then are all based around letting your readers know more about what's in it. My playbook, you don't have to do this. My playbook for email 3 would be to wait 2 to 3 days, somewhere in there. Again, I'm not trying to be too prescriptive. Don't do it the next day, but definitely do it on 2 or 3 days after. Give them a taste, okay? Give them a taste. What is that? This is basically like a free sample in a grocery store. You're going to give them some of the chapters. You're going to give them access to some of the art. You're going to show them this is what's inside my subscription, right? This is what's inside my tier. This is what I launched. You get to see a little bit of it. Here's where you could talk a little bit about, more about it. Or maybe you're not even talking about it. You're just copy and pasting the chapters. You're trying to get them hooked to be like, oh, wow, this was cool. Right? It is totally okay if they're scrolling though, because we have future emails in the sequence. And secretly, this email, you actually might not get that many conversions on this email itself, which is sneaky, right? But what you're doing is the people who converted immediately were like the easiest wins, for lack of better words, right? They clearly were like going to buy. The people who are converting a little later, and I'm just looking at the time. I'm going to go way over 45 minutes, but it's whatever. The people who are immediately like signing up, right? They're your easy wins. They don't need to be convinced anymore, right? But everyone else, why didn't they take action? Some of them literally just like maybe were in the car and they shouldn't be opening their email. Like, oh, I'll get to it later. There's people who are maybe not now, but there's a lot of people who are like, I'm not sure yet. The next email is about making those people sure, but they might not necessarily take action yet. Our next email, this is the fourth email in the overall sequence. It's a 5-email sequence, right? Because remember, email number 1, pre-launch. Email number 2 is the launch. Email number 3 is get them a taste. Email number 4 is all going to be about logic, the logic of it. Giving them a taste of something is what pulls the reader's emotion, right? It's your story that does that. But we want to give them a logical reason to join, right? There's, at some point, people are going to be thinking about pricing, right? At some point, people are going to be thinking, but what really is this? Like, you gave me a taste of it, but what really is this? Spell it out for me super clearly. So that's what you should do here. Like, in granular detail, tell them at least what's there. Tell them your promise. Maybe it's something as simple as, hey, y'all, I wanted to give you an easy way to access my stories. I hear from so many readers that when I release a new book, you don't know when it comes out. That's annoying. It's tough to stay on top of your email. It's tough to stay on top of everything. I just want to make sure that in one click, you can get all of my future stories forever. And what's great is that I'm planning to write 4 books this year, and you'll already have access to my most recent written book. You'll get all of that for only $5 a month, and you'll get access to these stories 2 or 3 months before anyone else. I hope you enjoy it. Just click here, right? Something simple like, that's not even that long, but something simple like that makes it so clear. Oh, this is the benefit to me. This is why I should subscribe versus just buying something, right? This is why I should subscribe. I'm subscribing because I'm getting it earlier as a benefit of subscribing. And I'm not having to be annoyed all the time about having to try and find the next story. There's other things that you could say as benefits for subscribing too. For instance, if you're doing a book box, you get to actually have the book box and break your payment out. Maybe you're doing bonus content. You could be like, it's very tough for me to release a full book of bonus content each month, but this is a way for me to share some things with y'all and make it super easy, right? These are the things that you can go through, right? You want to be thinking to someone, why should I subscribe? And you're answering that question in this fourth email super succinctly. The first one is, here it is. What is it? The second one is, look at it. The third one is, hey, this is actually why you should be part of this. And then the fourth email post-launch, but the fifth email in the sequence is the final email. And this email is really important. And the biggest thing about this is actually trying to tie a deadline to it. What do I mean by this? A deadline for your readers to act. There's always, it's roughly, the number is roughly 20% of people won't act without a deadline. I'm one of those people who's very much motivated by the deadlines myself. So if I see a deadline, even if it's arbitrary, it does get me to move. And it's up to you on the scale of super hard, really like real deadline that's for a very obvious reason, or like an arbitrary deadline, where you want to be in the sliding scale. Obviously, the harder the deadline, the more effective it will be, the more arbitrary, the less you can use it, and the less effective it will be. But having a deadline is great. What do I mean by this? So let's go to an arbitrary deadline, and then I'll work our way up to harder and harder deadlines. And then I'll give you some ideas about how you can design deadlines for your campaign. Because as you'll see, you're going to design this whole campaign around a deadline. That's why you're backing into it. Because you have a reason, the final reason, get in. And you will see your most conversions on this one email, by the way. This one last email. Which again, how many people go through and actually do this? I think very few. This is how you actually should launch. So on that first email that goes out, you probably want to talk about your deadline, right? I want to mention, this is, you don't have forever here, right? But what is the deadline? What is the why? So a very arbitrary deadline would be, it's the first week of my subscription, and I'm going to be releasing my first two or three chapters here, and you can get in earliest, right? Basically being an early member, a founding member. Don't get me wrong, that's a deadline. If you want to be a founding member, you have to get in the first week. That's an example of an arbitrary deadline, though. It doesn't really have to be that. Is founding member really a ton of pressure to get someone in? They could sign up later and not be a founding member, but it's a deadline, right? It's a deadline. What is the next form of deadline? That would be one that's in the middle from arbitrary to like super hard deadline, is like a discount. Hey, if you want this discount, you should get in by now. Maybe it's the first month free. Maybe it's 20% off that first month. Maybe it's 50% off. Having that sort of promotion that gets people in. Don't get me wrong, that can work really well, but it's not as strong as this last kind of deadline, which is you have to get in by the X date, which is a limited time tier sign up. This would be, if you don't sign up by X date, X time, the tier is going to close and it's not going to be open again for several months. You're going to miss out on getting early access to this post. You're going to miss out on this. You're going to miss out. This is your chance right now. That is obviously the hardest deadline, but you have to stick to it. If you don't stick to it, this whole thing is pointless and you lose a lot of trust in readers. And there's many readers who won't convert in the first launch, but will convert in the second or the third or the fourth, or the fifth, or the sixth. Obviously, you can't, if it's a hard deadline, you have to stick to it. If it's an arbitrary deadline, it might not be as effective, but it also doesn't carry that huge weight with it in which you have to follow through. And examples of authors who've done this, Kat T. Mason, Kitty Thomas, and many more have done it very effectively. Like you will see readers FOMO into it. We've had before answering support emails where we're like, oh my God, like this reader really wants to get into this tier. I guess we'll let the author know, of course, and see what they want to do. Cause they're like, I can't believe I missed it. But that's the kind of like emotion when you create and someone that gets one to act, right? That is like the sequence and it's super interesting. And actually for people in the Accelerator, we're going to be coming out with like scripts that if you're in the 6 years Subscription Author Accelerator, we'll actually give you some scripts that are like this. Cause in preparation for this talk, I was working a lot and launching. And I was like, oh, I can make some scripts for this. So been working on it and I'm excited to share that with y'all soon. But that is, again, the launch frame. You can do this when you first launch your subscription, but remember what I said, you can launch and should be launching more than once. Does this mean you should launch every week? No. Remember, this is extremely high effort. That is exhausting to launch every week. I honestly think 2 launches a year to 4 is your range. You should be doing more than one, but you shouldn't be doing more than, maybe 3 is the sweet spot, maybe 2. It just depends. What are good reasons to launch? You're doing a discount. That's actually a very decent launch campaign. You're launching a discount. Oh, you're creating a new tier. That's very much something you should launch. oh, I'm putting a new story into a tier. I'm changing up my benefits. There's a big new experience I'm giving to my readers. That's a great reason to launch. That's what I would design launches around. That way you're not like picking launches out of the air, but they're actually for like real reason that are actually going to really get your readers excited and hopefully bring new people. But remember what I said, these are extremely high effort, right? They're effective, but extremely high effort. And although that's great, a lot of subscriptions is about making things sustainable, right? How can we do this sustainably? And I think the answer is combining the best of evergreen with the best of launching. So taking the psychology, taking the campaign strategy that works in launching, but taking the ease of evergreen almost feels easy, but even though we have to maintain it, a lot of it is copying a newsletter template. It's relatively easy, right? How can we make this easy? And the answer is we want this to work in our sleep. We want this to work in our sleep. And that's what a checkpoint is. So what a checkpoint is, campaigns in a serial sequence to specific segments of your list at specific times. And it's not very instructive. Let me give you an example, then I'll go into more detail. And this example I'm giving because it's like an obvious one that we all know. So the first one is an onboarding sequence. This should, first of all, remember how our launch email was 5 emails? You should not be having a launch sequence of 20 emails. It's ridiculous. Having a minimum of 1 to maximum of 5 is good for an onboarding sequence in general. And an onboarding sequence, we all know, is being sent to a specific segment of your readers. This is new readers at a specific time, like right when they subscribe. But the actual real trick here is that you probably want a different onboarding experience based on that reader's journey with you. This is like the true power of a mailing list, right? And what mailing lists are capable of doing. You can create a different form based on when someone signs up and where they sign up that then allows you to send them a specific automation, a specific sequence of emails. What would an example of this be? If you're running a paid ad, you might have a specific onboarding sequence for readers who are coming from paid ads, right? And you can tag and segment them in your newsletter list as such. You might have a specific onboarding sequence for cross-promote readers. You might have a specific onboarding sequence from social media. You might have a specific onboarding sequence on your website, what we'll call organic. And you might have that same onboarding sequence for the back of your books, which also we'll call organic. Okay. That's pretty standard. Cool. Nice. But we want to take it a little bit of a step further because that is just the onboarding. That's just how we bring readers in. And oftentimes the conversation stops there, right? And oftentimes from talking to authors, the upsell in that onboarding sequence, the subscription can work, but sometimes it's not that. Readers aren't ready to subscribe yet to an author in the initial onboarding sequence. Maybe from organic they are, but sometimes in paid ads, they're not quite ready yet. You're going to have a high percentage that aren't going to be ready for that yet. And then you're relying on your continued launches to bring them in, which then is where this becomes not super sustainable, because then you can bring people in, you can get new readers into the journey, but you're not going to really see the full value of that, even if you have an onboarding sequence. The onboarding sequence can work, but you're not going to really see the full value of it until you do a launch, which then relies on you constantly launching. I don't want that. I want you all to be able to make money from your subscription while you sleep. I think that's how we should think about this as business owners. Passive income is a lie, but super active income either is like probably not the way to go. So how can we make this more sustainable? And the answer is, what did I tell you in the beginning about evergreen? Evergreen, they're not really converting. It's more driving awareness, right? Launch emails. You're going to get conversions, but not everyone's going to convert. What happens to the people that don't convert? What do you do with them? This is where you can add them into a different journey. And they are now at a different time in their reader journey. Not when they first joined, but when they maybe expressed some interest in your subscription. What are you sending to them to follow up with those people? That is where we get, that works in your sleep. And that's where you get that working together with the psychology of a launch email, where you could then, this is really, you know, something that makes, you know, promo codes powerful, even these arbitrary deadlines of, hey, get in now. It'll be very tough to still do the effectiveness of the deadlines that you'd have at the launch when you're doing these checkpoints, right? Because the launch, you could have a really effective deadline, if you want this working in your sleep, you're not always going to have a discount running, right? Because you've seen, I'm sure you've all seen like online funnels that online marketers will send you through, and they'll have the cheap deadline. I don't actually believe that works. I don't think that's great for your brand, because I think people know now this is a fake deadline. So what this ultimately means is that these type of checkpoints are going to convert less than launches, but not by a ton, right? Not by a ton. And you can still do, even if it's less urgency, you can still do an email in a very similar sequence to what we just talked about for a launch, right? It's the same thing. Let them know this thing exists. Actually try and sell them on it the next day and drive action. Give them a taste. Tell them why it's awesome, why they need to have it. And then a last reminder. And then don't annoy them anymore. And what you can do is actually, as readers get to points of their journey, try and share more with them. Now, this is actually the thing that I'm most excited about, because here's the truth. Outside of like actions that readers take in our mailing list, which is very useful, it's hard to actually know, like, where is a reader at in their journey, right? And one of the long-term things that I'm like really, really passionate about is like on a platform like Ream, how can we give authors access to more data and help you build out these kinds of sequences, like what we'll call like checkpoints. We're probably eventually going to call them journeys, right? But that's what we want you to build out, like a journey for a reader. They go, they read a story. We know they finish this story. And after a period of time, they're getting this sequence and this week's. Like that would just work like magic. And it doesn't fully there's a problem with like data that we have available to us as authors to actually know where readers are in their journey and then being able to act on that data. But the data that you do have, which you do have data in your mailing list of when people are clicking, what emails are opening, you can start to craft as sections, as points in your reader journey, and have them run on autopilot. And again, you should not build all this out overnight, okay? It takes time to build these sorts of journeys out. But that's what's going to help your subscription really grow over the long run through email marketing. Because then you have your evergreen funneling into these journeys, and it keeps going in and out, where it's this cycle. And hopefully now the question is how you bring new readers into your email marketing world. But we can only do so much in one webinar. So the final, I think this will probably take me maybe 5 minutes. We'll run through these, because that was the bulk of it, okay? Take a deep breath. That was most of what I wanted to share with you about email marketing. And I told you it was going to get advanced, but this is the stuff that at least excites me. In terms of headline starters, I wanted to recommend a really good book to you all. And it's a book specifically about advertising, but it's super effective for like email newsletters too. It's called Cashvertising. Oh no, I got kicked out. Hey, y'all. When did you lose me? Was it just for a second?
It was just for a second.
Okay. So weird. All right. Let me get back up and going here. So back to the email headlines. Cashvertising is the book that I'd really recommend if you want to dive super deep into, like, it goes way deeper than headlines. So let me just say that. Really good stuff in that book. And when it comes to headline starters, though, especially like, I think it's really important that you don't have to constantly be in launch and constantly in selling mode, right? But talking about like when you are in selling mode, when you do want your readers to take action, these types of words do get people to move. They get people intrigued, right? And I think most of these are pretty simple and they're really easy to integrate into existing headlines. So if I was doing like my own launch email sequence, if I was designing like a checkpoint or a journey, I still haven't figured out the name for it. But I would try and use these words in the beginning as much as possible. So feel free to take a screenshot. Feel free to write these down. They are fascinating and they're proven throughout time. Like these have been true for decades. I think they're going to be true for decades more. Obviously, like we can get into linguistics and how English is a whole language probably won't exist in 500 years because it'll evolve into something else. But the point is that right now, in a very long time, likely for generations, these words and headline starters have some pretty good power. So what do you do after the headline? And this is, again, goes back to like specific email design because I gave you structure and framework. Now we're getting much more tactical. Give them a free test, give them a free taste, give them a free sample, give them a free something is nice. Telling a dramatic story. This, I think, is where you can use your storytelling ability as an author. I don't think you need to share about you as an author, but you can share about your characters, you can share about your worlds. You could share about you as an author if that's the relationship you have to your readers. But telling a dramatic story, using you, it's very powerful to use the word you. So if you're talking to your readers and you singular, because remember, email is a one-to-one form. When your reader reads it, it's intimate. You're talking to them, not to everyone like it is in social media. Very short first sentences. This is key. You do not want to be hit with a wall of text, right? So this is what makes it actually really hard to get your buttons and call to actions for these specific emails, especially when we're doing like the launch notification email. To get that in on that first bit is hard, but really important. And then this one is less used by authors, but I think can be really fun because some of the most fun things and fun marketing I've seen online involves interactions like this, is you can share, I'm using in quotes here, testimonials from your readers. Obviously, like Goodreads is a world that's known to be for readers. I'm not necessarily recommending you take screenshots from there, but if it's in your subscription, readers are commenting on one of your posts, they're commenting on one of your stories, it's always good to ask for permission from a reader. If you can send it out in your newsletter list, that's definitely, I'm not a lawyer, but that's definitely the legally sound and just morally sound thing to do. But assuming you have their permission to put a screenshot in, you can always blur out their name too, so no one even knows their screen name. It's really fun when other people get to see you interacting with readers. And if you just go, hey, they go, oh, this chapter is amazing. You could be like, oh, look what you're missing out on, and showing that reader's reaction. That stuff works. And again, you'll have to get some comments to be able to do that. But then you can also maybe at the end of your chapter, ask readers what they think about the chapter. And you know that this isn't just you baiting for engagement, but you're actually going to use that in your marketing. And yeah, it's also nice to have people tell you they like your story. But we can also use this to actually bring more readers in. Oh, I can go back to the, I'll go back to that one because this was just questions. You can take a screenshot here, Jody. And then I guess the good news is not too over time. So I wanted us to have 40 minutes, but we got 35 minutes for questions. So I'll leave this slide up for another minute or so. And then any questions, it doesn't have to be about this. It could be about anything. I will make sure, usually do during the presentation itself, I think we make sure everyone's muted, but okay, you can unmute yourselves if you want to chat, or you can put questions in the chat itself. I know this was a lot. This is a heady one. Our next one's going to be even more, but then like it is our last fireside chat. So I did tell you, I want to hit it all the big topics and at least do, I could do 5 hours of this, but at least do like a touch on it. So this is our touch on it. We will do one last one in June, which I will leave that topic up for suspense now. But whether it's about emails or if you're all emailed out, which I understand after all of that, let me know any questions y'all have. Any way I can help. Okay, so let's see. I have a random question. Will we ever have an option to do an add-on to a lower tier? So instead of having to create a website or online store, we could offer a one-time add-on to sell specific items. Let's say I have a $5 tip jar with access, but another one for $30 with more content. It's available like unsigned. Maybe they can't afford $30 a month, but can buy it outright. But you don't have an online store. If we have the option, yes, a la carte sales are coming on Ream this summer. So you will be able to sell anything that's a story in a book or an audiobook this summer, one off. So yeah, that's coming. Yeah, that's also maybe explains a little bit why Subscriptions for Authors is awesome. Facebook group's awesome, but we're now going to be transitioning. Yeah, it'll be even more than just a tip jar. It'll be like when you publish a story on Ream, you'll be able to make it available to any of your paid tiers and or make it available for a one-time sale price. So yeah, question. I have a weekly newsletter with new stuff. I usually have around 5 new items for email. So am I right in assuming combining this with checkpoints and launches would be your right? Yes, exactly. Because what you're doing there is evergreen. And what you could do, my exact advice here would be, if you have like 5 new items per email, maybe there's one item that's focused on your subscription. Like I said, you're probably not going to actually see many conversions from that, which is weird. Like you would think, oh, but I'm mentioning it every week, but I could promise you that evergreen stuff doesn't actually lead to conversions, but it leads to awareness. And they were all my subscription at the time. Okay. What you could do then though is in your newsletter, when someone interacts with your newsletter, if they click on a link, you can add them to a group or a new segment that then gets sent this type of checkpoint sequence. They've reached that checkpoint in the reader journey. They've shown they're interested. You will want to exclude existing members from this, but that's easy enough, right? then you also, let's say maybe people don't click. There's a lot of people don't click and send emails, but maybe you know that someone like opened up five of your most recent campaigns. You can create a segment for that and add them to a checkpoint. These are all things you can do. So yes, I think that you have the evergreen down, and evergreen's important because evergreen is what builds relationships, builds awareness, gets people ready for launches, and can also bring people to a checkpoint in their relationship with you. So it's great, but that's what I'd recommend. It's that next level there. I will stop sharing my screen. No questions? It can be about anything. It doesn't have to just be about what we talked about today. Oh, you're writing one. Okay, I'll give you time. I'll give you time. Don't rush. It is good. Yeah, I don't know. There's concerns about it, but I haven't totally seen that to be true, to be honest. It's definitely worth A/B testing if you like really want to get super granular about it and test it. But I've seen free work completely fine in headlines. And actually, it can sometimes have a pretty decent open rate. It does work. Obviously, it's very hard to know, like, what is the portion of emails that hit the main inbox versus promotions versus social, right? That I don't think any email newsletter provides that data, because I don't think the respective email providers actually share that. But if the open rate looks good, that's a good sign. If the click-through rate looks good, that looks good. Yeah, so you can... Okay, you heard that was a myth. Yeah, I never pretend to like... I can always be wrong about something, but I've used it before. I know a lot of people have used it. It's been fine. I always say test is a good thing. You can definitely have people respond to you. That's really nice. I know whitelisting too helps if you get readers to like whitelist your email. There's obviously a lot that's changed about in the last even 2 months alone in terms of like SPF, DKIM required for everyone. But I think in the long run, although it's like it was an annoying shift for a lot of people, it's going to be a very good thing because it ultimately raises the bar to sending out marketing emails. It makes it easier for Google and Yahoo to see spammers, which means they could be theoretically, they don't, if a reader signed up for your emails, the machine should never be putting it in spam unless the reader's marked it as spam, right? Theoretically, it should get the whole thing working better. I'm glad you like testing. That's great. I'm really glad you enjoyed it, Kelly. I hope you have a great rest of your evening or day or night, depending on where you are in the world. And I guess I'll say this, if folks do need to go, because I know we had to do it a little bit later today, I had a class time chain. I don't have a second presentation up my sleeve, but I am here for questions. So do let me know how I can help. And yes, Jamie, I am too. I'm also looking forward to seeing you, because I know we're like seeing you, meaning like seeing you as we're going to be recording some podcasts together, or at least you'll be recording the podcast. I will be there and I'm excited to be in the same vicinity as you. Yay, Alexa, I'm glad. I'm looking forward to the virtual summit too. It should be really fun. Yeah, it'll be exciting. Author Nation is going to be a great podcast. The studio's nice too. Studio's very nice that we're going to have. So I'm excited for it. It'll be pretty funny. What sort of things are you seeing pinned? That's a great question, Lindsay. So how I've seen lots of people pin lots of different things, but I'll tell you generally how I think about it. I think hitting a post is almost like you have a library or a bookstore. And when you walk into the library, it's going to tell you, here are all the different aisles. If you're looking for fantasy, go here. If you're looking for romance, looking for children's, go here. Now, obviously, I should say obviously, some authors are writing in nearly all genres. And that is an almost perfect analogy. But if you're a genre author who's maybe writing one or two genres, you might not have this genre here, right? But what you might have instead is, hey, this are X kind of posts that are here. These are stories you get on this tier. These are stories you have on this tier, et cetera. And what I would honestly do, because it's a very like subtle way, is if someone's following, make the pinned post available to everyone. Okay, make it available to everyone, but make it useful for everyone too. Which means that if you're writing this pinned post as if any one of your readers could be seeing it, because it'll be your pinned post, you can include, again, links to, here's what you get at tier three, here's what you get at tier two, here's what you get at tier one. Similar format to that. Those are the stacks of your library, okay? And what will end up happening is many readers will be very happy that you made it really easy to get everything that's in their tier. That's awesome. But then many readers will also be curious. There's this other tier. Let me go check out this stuff. Then they'll click on it. And if you're linking out, at least this is where, if you're linking out to benefits outside of Ream, I can't help you. Like, we'd have to talk. But if you're linking out to benefits within Ream, a post within Ream, or a story within Ream, or a chapter within Ream, even if they click on the chapter, if they don't have access in their tier, they're going to be asked to upgrade. So it's a very subtle way to be like, this is everything, but also make it easy for people to upgrade. That's how I'd think about it. Good. The pin post should only be available when they go to the CUNY tab. When they open a email to go to a new post, it should open that post up full on. I love that, Dax. Yeah, pin a post as my release schedule for April. That's awesome. To use it to ask questions in the comments they have. That's awesome. Yeah. That's also a great thing to put in a pin post is like anything related to frequently asked questions or important information for readers and let them know this is a great place if you have a question to let me know. That's a good way to use it. I feel like there's a second part to your code, so I'm waiting on that. But please do let me know if you have any questions. We do have another update coming out tonight, probably, most likely. It's ready, so I think it's coming out tonight. It's the soft launch of the new help guides, which you can find at help.readingstory.com. We still have some finishing touches to do, but it's ready for you all. And then when you go to the Ream site now, if you have selected not to view mature stories, you won't see them anywhere. Before, if you just selected not to view mature stories, it wouldn't let you read them. But now you won't see those cover stories unless you're following an author or you're subscribed to them. Then you will see their mature stories and be asked to allow to be see mature stories if you want to read it. A very like common thing that we saw when we launched Discovery was so many of the authors who do well on the platform. We have authors from all different genres, but a lot are writing steamy stories or writing things that might not be appropriate of all ages. And there was really no easy way to filter that. So you can imagine if you were a parent of a child who's maybe 15 or 16, and we have quite a few teenage readers on our site, you might not be very happy seeing that. And we took notice of that. And that update's going to hopefully make it an experience where all readers will be able to see the stories that they want much easier and hopefully will be a good thing. Yeah, if you want only mature, then you could search that up. As long as you want to see mature, you're good. But yeah, that's the update. So Ream will probably look different for you if the update applies to you. If the update doesn't apply to you, Ream will look much different. But it might look different for your readers, depending on what you write. And that might be a good thing. I know some of you here are writing YA, writing fantasy that's more clean or PG. So hopefully that's a good update for y'all. The question is, I wanted to include some of my fiction for authors that are subscribing, and I realized that I can't use my stories that are available for my readers since the Dear Reader intro is for them, not for the authers. I would like to include a different intro for the authors. The issue is that if I don't include the first chapter to the authors, then the rest don't come up. I see, yeah, because they'll click into the story and they'll see the first chapter. So I have to add the story to my library a second time to share with my author followers the different intro. So is there a way to get it set up where you don't have to publish every chapter to get the ones after those later chapters to actually go through? Right now, like the reader, if they were to click into the story, like you're saying, they would start with that first chapter. A way around it would be to do a first chapter that is like for readers, for authors, and it clicks to each one and then you hyperlink to it and then go on with the story that's available to everyone. So the first chapter is available to everyone. And you have links that go on respectively, depending on whether they're an author or a reader. So that's what I would do. Like chapter one, hey, are you an author or reader? This is where you get the author. This is where you can see the author note. This is where you can see the reader's note. If you're an author, click. It takes you right to that author's note chapter. Reader takes you right to the reader's note chapter. No, screening is at the story level. It'll only be specific stories that you mark as mature. And you can change a story's maturity level anytime. So once you set it, you can also change it. So yeah, that's how that works. All great question. Yeah, if the big thing too that'll be helpful is when a reader creates an account, they'll be asked to check off whether they want to opt in to view mature content or not. And then the moment they go to one of your stories, it's mature. Because most readers will like immediately go to an author's page that they want to follow. If they're not already reading mature stories, it'll ask them to say if they want to, that this story is mature. And then it'll be applied to all stories across the platform. So it's it's very easy, and we make it very easy for readers ultimately to read the stories that they want to, but mostly we do not want to have someone have a harmful experience or an experience they're uncomfortable with if we can make that super easy to avoid. And for a lot of people, and rightfully, specific kinds of content can just make them feel like it's not a welcome place for them. And in reality, Ream's a great place for all storytellers. That includes authors who are writing content for more mature audiences and authors who are writing content for young adult. We're definitely not a children's platform under 13s. I wouldn't say are on our list of target audiences or what we're going for, but there's so many people who are of all different ages who have different reading tastes. Alexa, I know this is incredibly possible, but if you have a workaround for Wade hyperlink to secret stories, they're hidden and only pop up through the hyperlink. Oh, I see. You only want it to pop through the hyperlink, so it's not listed on your stories page. It's like a secret story. It's not listed in discovery. Yeah, not right now, but we're definitely going to add that because a lot of authors create stuff that they actually don't want to be discovered in any facet. And it's relatively, that's the thing we can do, is making a hidden story. That would be really cool. I can't like promise an exact timeline on that, but that's definitely something that we've considered and something that I think would be really cool. In terms of a workaround, that would be really hard. That'd be really hard. The best way to do, yeah, that would be really hard to do a hidden story. I don't think a secret story is possible right now. But it's a good idea. It's cool. It's like a nice little extra bonus for people who find it. I love Easter eggs too. And I'm glad that you're full of information, of good information. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. Yeah, I guess in the time we have, I'm going to share a little bit about more specifics to the rebrand and some of the things that we're launching. So the first thing is that we are going to be launching regular sprints after the first sprint that we did in early March. It's going to be in the Discord that's already been rebranded to Storytellers of the World Sprints. We're going to do 4 big events a year that have different themes. They're not all serial focused. And in addition to that, we're going to have regular challenges for new writers that are coming into the community who might want to participate in creating a new tier, creating their first tier challenge, or maybe they want to do a challenge where you get to write your first few episodes of a serial. But we're also going to be, in addition to that, creating, and it's already been built, by the way. At this point, some things are waiting to launch, but a little tool that helps you create a sprint group for other writers so that they can find you and you can meet other writers and sprint together. We won't be moderating the actual groups. They won't be run by us. But I think it's important that people from all over the world, all different times, all different backgrounds can run their own writing communities, run their own sprints. So we're going to have the bigger like Storytellers of the World sprints that we'll share everywhere. But then all of that will lead back into how are you doing sprints when we're not doing these big sprints. And we'll still have some like ongoing sprints in this core, but we're not going to have like sprints going on all the time, 24/7. But for folks who want that, there'll be a way to be able to build your own communities or be able to connect with others. So we're excited to release that tool just as something fun for the community. And I think that, yeah, I think the writing world needs like some great sprinting and events that bring us together in that regard. So that's the first thing. The second big thing is that we are launching an author success center at Ream, where in one link, it'll link out to all of our resources that we have in a nice way. So it's like a portal. And there's also an ambassador revamp to the program that we built with the sweepstakes at the end of it. That's pretty cool. So Ream has an ambassador and a partner program where if you refer Ream to other authors, you get paid. And we're really taking that to the next level. So we're excited for that. The landing page is pretty cool. I'm going to show you all one little part about it. So it's definitely not ready for public consumption yet, but cool. I'll do this. This is a little bit of a surprise. And the real truth is that we're not voting on the European Reserve. You all are, but some of you might have caught that we're not going to be doing an official in-person summit next year. And I think eventually we might, but we're going to be doing 4 virtual summits. and it's going to be a membership because it's time that Ream has a subscription. We're a subscription platform all this time. As we launch a la carte, we're finally going to be launching a subscription. What that means is that annual subscriptions are going live in the Ream platform. That's coming out in the next 6 weeks. And when we launch our, when we launch this, where the whole idea, I think, what I realized about myself is that I like conferences, but I really like hanging out with our author friends more. And there's always this pressure when it's a conference and everyone's paying a fee and we're all having this speakers and all this to make the most of all the talks and all the sessions. And we just tire ourselves out. But in reality, I just want to hang out with like my author friends. And I think a lot of us want that. And so we don't really want to be a conference. We're not even want to be that big. Like, it's not even the goal. But we're just going to have y'all vote at a place that we go to all in the same week. And if you want to show up, you can. That's it. There's nothing like special. There's not going to be like crazy activities planned. We'll like plan a bunch of like dinners and meetups and stuff. But it's just going to be like a place to hang out. It's a summit, right? Like we figured like summit pass has to be somewhere mountainous. And I like the warm weather. So like mountains, warm weather. So we could do the Caribbean. And I'm like, I think Europe's a good place the first year. So anyways, the top Ream Ambassador 2024 will be able to stay there with us for free for the week. So I'll have a little free vacation. So that's like that relaunch. And yeah, that's not like live or public yet, but we're excited for it. Go back here. Yes, I think that's exactly what it'll be. And plus we have a lot of European authors who haven't had like a specific event there. So yeah, that's our like big, I don't know, shift, just more like making things sustainable. And we'll be having multiple virtual summits, and I'll reveal like what those summits will be about, because they're not just going to all be about subscriptions. There's going to be another subscriptions one, but there's going to be three more. And I think they're going to be really cool. And they're going to basically take place like one a quarter. So we'll do one summer, one fall, one winter, and then one spring. And then we'll do the summit. And then that's the end, like the retreat thing. And that's the end of season one. So we're doing it all in seasons. So yeah, you'll start to see if we could stick to our word and stick to our promises. Just kidding. But more so than that, hopefully you'll see that a lot of the things that like we've talked about, like voting on things and, you know, having, you know, like clear like abilities to continue like launching, but like you're not constantly launching. Right? We're trying to take a lot of our best practices together, but create something that's really affordable and really fun for y'all. Yeah, there's some of like the big things we're working on behind the scenes. Most of that, a lot of that's going to come out in the next 6 weeks. Most of it will be public knowledge between now and the next fireside chat. So that's exciting. And yeah, so that's what we're doing. There's a little bit more too, but some of it's boring stuff. We need to change the Storytellers of the World site to be more official, to be like a portal to all different worlds. And then the subscriptions for authors site will be relaunched to just be like very streamlined. Here's how you get all the subscription info, because our site was becoming so heavy with information that it was becoming hard to like be like, where do I start? So we can make it easier to be like, here's where you start, here's where you learn. So yeah, just changing some things. And yeah, that's about it. That's where we're at right now. Any questions? I'm glad that my talk went a little over, because we don't have any questions today. So I would have been stumped. I'm glad. I hope Lindsay creating the Tim post is great. Same thing, Jody with the charity things. Jamie, is always great seeing you. And if no one has any more questions, might end this one a little early, but I did at least give y'all a gift for staying a little late. So y'all got some inside things. Your newsletter better, I'm glad. Good. I'm glad this was helpful, y'all. We'll see y'all soon, okay? Have an amazing weekend. Have an amazing rest of your night. As always, don't forget, storytellers rule the world. See y'all soon.